Welcome back. It's a sure sign of spring when we begin talking baseball and spring training. My next guest is Mike Matheny, the manager of the Cardinals. He's getting ready to head south in a couple of days, and he's also taken on a new role as author. He's the author of The Matheny Manifesto, a young manager's old-school views on success in sports and life. It takes a close look at the role of parents and coaches in their approach to young athletes. I talked to him yesterday and asked why, at this stage in his life, he took on this subject.
Yeah, that's a fair question. And really the only reason was due to the response that I got from the letter that I wrote about 8 years ago, writing a letter to youth parents and listing it all out and explaining kind of what I was expecting as their coach. And I got to tell you, I was blown away by the response that I got, was it was only meant for those 12 sets of parents to read, just to kind of know where I took a stand. But somehow it hit the internet, and I was going from city to city doing what I do now, and every place I went, someone told me something. And a lot of times it was even current and former big league players saying, this is exactly what I think, and you're right, there's a problem here, and I'm making people, I had some of my former teammates saying, I'm asking people, I'm going to coach their teams, but they're going to have to sign this. And so I was thinking, wow, you know, it struck a nerve. And so the timing must be right. And with that being said, it's getting kind of some leads towards some authors that were interested in doing books, and ended up contacting Jerry Jenkins, who's one of my, it's not my favorite all-time author, and just kind of things started snowballing, and there was interest, and just trying to make a difference with the platform that I have.
What were some of the things that you were seeing 8 years ago that you wanted to bring to the attention of the parents of those kids?
I think what I was seeing was when I was taking my kids to the field, it was just an elevated expectation, and there was just so much seemed to be riding on these kids' success in youth sports, where parents were just losing their minds and screaming at their kids all through the game and yelling at them to get their elbow up, and just nonstop badgering to where you could see the kids were checking out and starting to just kind of watch that myself. And then that translated into yelling at coaches. It translated into yelling at umpires, and we're talking kids. Some of these kids are not even 10 years old yet. And I think people just lost perspective of what youth sports should be about. And so I just brought up, you know, in the original letter with the idea, listen, you know, I don't remember things being like this. And I know that I fell in love with the game partly because my parents used sport as something that brought us together. And it was just something that we all celebrated and that I had a passion for it, and I enjoyed it, but it was about me as a kid. And in the meanwhile, they turned me over to a coach, and the coach taught character, yes, but he taught the game and a love for the game. And my whole point was, listen, you know, less than 1% of these kids are going to go on and have college paid for in this sport. So what about the 99%? And if your kids are one of the 1%, this is how our coach did it, and a bunch of us went on to play at the next level. But, you know, for the other 99, there's really a better way to do this that focuses on the fun of the game, teaching a love of the game, which is the absolute foundation. And after that, you know, coaches and parents realize an opportunity to talk about character and teamwork, about hard work and discipline, talk about failure and handling that's going to help kids not just for sport, but it's going to help them be successful people and leaders in our communities.
Now, you make it much in the book, and I'm sure in that letter as well, in the fact that winning isn't everything, as a famous football coach once indicated, but that learning how to lose is also an important part of the game.
It is, and you know, and I do have to make sure that we always clarify, you know, my job's about winning, but we have a bunch of professionals who are being compensated to go out and win baseball games. I think it needs to be reinforced to people at the lower levels, especially when kids are just starting out. The focus and the goal doesn't necessarily have to be you're successful only if you go out and win every single game, and you're always just pushing those kids that it's all about winning when you're starting up. And I think it's a great way to push kids away from the sport. It's more about developing that passion for the game. But all in all, when it comes down to even the collegiate level, there's winning that comes along with that. But it's not everything at the lower levels, and more can be lost or learned a lot of times from those losses, and how to teach kids to persevere. And there's so much failure inside the game of baseball. It's a great platform to teach kids about the discipline of and improving. I am not, and I made it very clear in the book, I'm not a proponent that every kid goes and gets a trophy. I believe that's for the teams that come together, worked hardest, improved, and figured out a way to win. But I also believe that you need to figure out a way to create fun. I remember my parents always took me, we went and got ice cream, win, lose, or draw. It was something that I don't even know if they had a grand plan in store. But that was just part of the fun, the expectation, and couldn't wait for baseball season. I was getting to spend time with my family. We'd go get ice cream afterwards, and it just turned it into a great experience.
How do you impart these lessons to today's kids? And I ask that because a lot of them are drawn less and less, it seems to me, to the football field or baseball diamond or hockey rink than they are to that video screen. And you make much of that in your book.
Well, I think at some point kids they get tired of always someone badgering them all the time. And you know, some of it they need that pushing from a coach more often than not. But when everybody's screaming at them all the time, just the easy escape is for them to get in front of a TV screen with a video game where it just seems to be like the babysitter, and everybody just leaves them alone. And I think that's what kids are resorting to. So what I believe absolutely is the foundation is you've got to teach a passion for the sport. And that's why they want to play. You know, you interview these kids at the earliest of ages, and why do you do this? Why do you want to play? And they say, you know, it's about my friends. It's about fun. It's not about a scholarship. It's not about making it to the major leagues. Now, some of that comes with time and experience, but the first thing they have to have fun. They have to have a passion for it. And that comes, and that's a big part of the responsibility of a coach and of a parent to make it an atmosphere to where it is that kind of fun that can, you know, create those lifelong memories and a lifelong desire to follow the game. And then once that kind of falls in track, then you start to be able to see whether these kids have the desire, whether they have the ability to take it to the next level, and you help them take it as far as they can. But you can't get the cart in front of the horse.
You know, one of the things I've noticed personally, and friends of mine have remarked on it too, is a lot of kids that have some talent, maybe not enough to go on to the next level, but they burn out fairly quickly because of the pressure put on them by parents and very specifically by coaches as well.
Yeah, that's very true. And part of that's always that balancing act. There's some kids that actually beg for more, and there's other kids that they're always teetering on it being too much, and they're just done. And, you know, it's funny, a lot of the examples that I use in the book just aren't my own unique individual ideas. I went and I interviewed some of our best players, current players and former players that are now coaches, and I talked to them, tried to find any kind of consistency and any kind of pattern. And the one pattern was they loved playing sport, but more importantly, they were playing other sports. And they had people that encouraged them. They created an atmosphere to where they could learn and grow. But they were also going out and playing multiple sports. Very few of these guys were just one sport players. I mean, they were just kids having fun, and then they figured out really what it was that they wanted to do. And then in the meanwhile, they were just growing other talents. I've talked to some coaches, a college basketball coach not long ago, said that he did not recruit kids that just played basketball. Mm-hmm. And he said the reasoning was he felt they were either maxed out or close to burnt out. And he'd like to see them struggle in some of the other sports and watch them develop some of their skill sets that would allow them to continue to improve what could be their peak as a basketball player. And I thought that was a very interesting idea.
You mentioned basketball. And, of course, one of the people who inspired you greatly, obviously, is John Wooden, former coach at UCLA. And he was an important part of your life, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think if there was a model, and not just by what I believe, if you just look at the history, you look at the success, you look at the track record, you look at what John Wooden was able to accomplish, not just on the court, but in the lives of people, it'd be hard to beat. And you talk about a guy who was voted by many as the most influential coach ever. And then you talk about what he tried to instill into his players and what was the focus that he had. Many of the things you and I have just finished talking about, that, you know, winning is going to be a natural byproduct of going about things the right way. He never spoke of winning. He talked about developing these guys and trying to get the most out of them. He talked about what it was that drove them to stay engaged and to stay passionate about the sport, and things that I had always kind of thought, things that stuck out in my mind when coaches got it right. Coach Wooden verbalized them maybe better than anybody I'd ever heard. And the first time that I read one of his books, it just struck me that, yes, this is the kind of coach that I'd like to be. And he's continuing to influence people just through some of the pyramid of success that he put out there, and some of the other things that set him apart as a great, unique, and one-of-a-kind coach.
You know, when you wrote that letter 8 years ago, a lot of the kids or parents that was directed to are now old enough to be playing professional baseball. What are you seeing on those people who came up through that era today amongst the people you deal with on an everyday basis, how they have responded to their growing up in that environment?
Well, and that's really kind of the commitment we made to these kids, and really what I challenge coaches of all levels is the bigger picture, and realizing that, once again, few of these kids are going to go on and play. And our oldest group's actually they're juniors in high school, and we have two that are committed to play ice hockey. We've got two more that are committed to play baseball in college, and it's just fun being able to contact coaches and write letters of recommendation. And that's a high number. And that wasn't necessarily our goal, but we didn't want to get in the way of these kids actually maximizing their talents. But the other ones, we're also writing letters of recommendation for school applications. We're talking to some people about doing some internship and some summer jobs. And the way we went into this as coaches, wanting to make an impact on their lives, wanting to be a part of their personal board as they continue to move forward for the next 20 years. And how can we use the resources we have? Because, you know, we had some people on that team, some dads who were very successful, not just at sport. They were successful in the corporate world. And how can we use this group of men to teach some character studies while they were young and as players, but also develop the relationships to be advocates for them as they move forward into life. And I think a lot of coaches sometimes are short-sighted. They see that one summer league trophy as being the end goal instead of, you know, how can something that we're doing right now with this young man impact his life to where he makes an impact on our world down the line? Because that's going to be our next generation of leaders, these kids that we're working with now. And what a great opportunity through sport to really make a difference.
What about the young people you're working with today, however? I mean, they are young for the most part, early, mid-20s, what have you. What kind of qualities do they have that makes them special, aside from the raw talent that makes them hit a ball farther or throw a ball harder than anybody else? Are they of a special character in and of themselves?
Well, you know, we have all kinds of makeups. We have kids that come from all different walks of life with and some seriously tough situations that actually cause some real struggles and tough conversations that we have to. But these kids are all normal. They're normal kids, and they come from little small towns all over the world. And they have to have talent. I mean, that's really the foundation. They have to have talent, but that talent gap gets pretty small, especially when they get into the professional level. I'd say most people, when they went and they just watch a professional organization work, you wouldn't be able to tell many of the A-ball guys from the big league guys on talent alone. It's all the little things. It's the discipline that comes with being able to handle all the pressures that come. It's the mental toughness. It's the constant learning, almost a culture of education where the ones that make it to the highest level, they're trying to figure out all the time a way to gain an edge. It's an idea of team because there's kids sometimes that are so talented, but they just can't get away from or outside of themselves that they just don't fit in a team environment. I mean, there's so many of those character traits that we're seeing and trying to teach at the young levels that do get in the way of even the most talented kids who just get by on talent alone for a long time. It has to be a mix of the discipline, the teamwork, the constantly pushing and growing that allows the best of the best to hang around as long as they do.
In your book, you mentioned any number of people that you admire, but there were two that I'd like you to just talk about for a moment, if you would, and really kind of assess the qualities that set them apart. One of them is Adam Wainwright, who is still with you, and the other is Mark McGwire, who is not. Take them one at a time, if you would. Particularly, we'll start with Wainwright, his particular qualities that make him the guy that he is.
Well, I love to champion our guys, and especially the leadership we have on our team. And people want to know about the success we've been able to have in this organization. And that starts at the very top with our ownership and all the way down through and trying to have a consistency. But when you see it play out on the field, I'm very, very fortunate to have the leadership that I have on our field. And that starts with Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina and Matt Holliday, our veteran presences, and Adam embodies so many things that this organization stands for. He stands for an absolute fierce competitor, but also a guy who understands his obligation to be a great member of society and to be the kind of player that attracts our fans and goes out and makes a difference in our community. Adam's a guy who has top shelf ability by has constantly being thought of as a Cy Young award winning pitcher. But what he brings to our clubhouse as far as consistency and leadership and an example for our young pitchers is absolutely invaluable. And I always, whenever I get an opportunity, push that this is what it looks like to be an ace. This is what it looks like to be the kind of pitcher we want you to be in our organization. Mark McGwire, I pointed out as one of my favorite teammates, and Albert Pujols was in that group as well. And there's just certain things, certain players as teammates do that just gets lost in the shuffle and not always seen by everybody on the outside looking in. Mark was a guy to me that really did a terrific job of handling the fans, and a guy who with almost a superhero kind of persona and physique, he couldn't go anywhere. And he and I spent time as teammates, and I just always admired how he understood the lifeblood of our game as our fan base. And he would stop and he'd shake a young fan's hand and he would engage and He'd catch eyes with them and have a sincere conversation where I know that those kids, when they walked away, they had a lifelong memory. And I just remember thinking that that's how a superstar should handle, with humility, handle the position that they've been given. And how Mark helped me as a player and helped other people on our team. So those are some of the guys that I pointed out, and it's usually the guys that figure out a way for me to name someone a good teammate. They go out of their way to make people around them better. And both Adam Wainwright and Mark McGwire both embody that.
You know, I saw one review of your book in which the reviewer thought that perhaps citing McGwire was inappropriate given some of the things that happened since he stopped playing ball. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and there's going to be probably many different opinions of different things that I said in there. And I feel very proud to have had Mark as a teammate and also the opportunity to talk with kids. And I brought this up in the book, the opportunity to try and make things right and to come out and talk about the mistakes that you made and try and figure out how to get those out there and then make a difference and figure out how to help fix and keep things from happening like that again. And, people are always going to have their opinions on how those things should go. My perspective more was what a teammate looks like. Our game was tainted by the steroid era. There's no question about it. And there was cheating. That's no doubt. That was some of the questions that we were able to have with these boys about the regret that comes along. And there were so many things that Mark himself was able to do that had nothing to do with any of the performance-enhancing drugs. But that's always going to be something that's going to hang there. And to have conversations with these guys about decisions and regrets and trying to make good decisions. But, I decided to go after this project and try to make an impact. And when you make a strong stance that isn't necessarily always politically correct or always going to be what people want to hear, you're going to have some pushback. And I think if you don't have that, you probably really didn't say much.
Our time is limited, but I can't let you go, Mike Matheny, without asking about what kind of shape you feel you're in. I don't mean you physically, but the team, as you get ready to head for Florida in just a couple of days, actually.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited, and I'm glad you weren't asking what kind of shape I'm in, because I need to be in better shape. But our team's in great shape. I'm real happy with what we've been able to do, happy with the way our club competed last year. We watched our team get better last season with some of our young pitchers or some of our young players getting on the big stage and learning how to compete under high pressure, and then figuring out what it is that proves to themselves that they belong there. So that was part of the development. We brought in some exciting players. Always hate to lose our guys, especially when we think of them as family. But that's the nature of the game, and they're able to bring in top quality people like a Jason Hayward and Jordan Walden and a Matt Belisle and a Mark Reynolds, all guys who fit the bill of what the Cardinals are looking for and hopefully take us one step closer to another World Series championship.
You know, I've often wondered when you go down to spring training, do you, as the manager, have a pretty good sense of what your lineup is going to be, who's going to be playing where, or is that something that really does shake out during the course of those weeks?
Well, as you know, I haven't been doing it all that long. Here for the past three seasons, I've been able to have a pretty good idea of what our starting lineup was going to look like, what our pitching staff would look like. But there's always those question marks. And, you know, we have a fifth spot in our starting rotation, which is an extremely important position on our club. That's going to be up for grabs, as well as bench spots. But we're also very clear the first day of spring training. You know, I watch Yadier Molina go in and work, and none of these kids that come in outwork the guy who's won gold glove after gold glove. And we have this culture of where our best players are our hardest working players. Nobody walks in like they have anything sewn up. But we do have a pretty good idea of the guys who've been able to prove what they can do, but always open the door for somebody to come in and compete and prove that they deserve a spot.
Molina seems to epitomize the kind of things we were talking about earlier in this conversation.
Yeah, no question. It's interesting just spending some time with Benji Molina and Jose Molina and realizing what a great job their family has done and passing along a lot of the traditions of not just the game, but going about it the right way and teaching those life lessons that we talked about, not missing the opportunities to impact kids' lives that prepares them for success in the game, but also for success outside the lines. And Yadier Molina has been an incredible talent for us to watch here in St. Louis, and what a great leader he's been for me as a young manager.
Just one final thought here. I know you have to go, but I can't let this conversation end without asking about the loss of Oscar Tavares and the impact that will have on the team this year. That's a blow.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's obviously a big conversation that goes beyond a young, talented player. And we have a bunch of guys in their 20s who've never had anybody that close all of a sudden not with us anymore. And it puts things into perspective and into the light of real life and real loss. And those are conversations that we're going to continue to have in spring training and continue to challenge these guys and talk about how fragile life is. Talk about the urgency of making today count. And this isn't some sort of way to conjure up a extra effort to win more games. It comes back to full circle of those things that we were talking about with the kids and with parents and with youth sports. And I feel I have the same responsibility with our players who are playing at the highest level. Let's not lose fact and lose sight of the bigger things. And let's talk about some priorities. Let's talk about the most important things in your life and how we should be spending our time and investing it into other people and into our families. And then making good decisions and the ramifications that obviously come when we don't. And all of those are tough, you know, deep conversations that none of us are afraid to get our hands dirty, jump into life with these guys, because life does happen to them. These guys do have temptations. They have struggles. They've got things that they've got to fight through on the personal side. They're not immune to that. And actually, they're more exposed at many times. And to try to create an atmosphere where we walk through that stuff with them while trying to maintain the ability to go out and compartmentalize so they can be one of the best on the planet at what they do. So it's a great challenge for me as a coach and something I find very rewarding to be able to walk through some of the things that don't go out publicly, but I know are big for these guys that are still young and they're still growing. And some of them are just still hitting their strides in their career and in their personal life.
That would be a good place to end our conversation, Mike Matheny. Good luck on the forthcoming season and good luck with the Matheny Manifesto. Hope it does very well for you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Take care.
You too. Mike Matheny will be talking about and signing his book at the Barnes & Noble in Fenton tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the latest in heart health research and medical care. We'll also take a look at Charles Lindbergh's legacy in connection to St. Louis as his Spirit of St. Louis plane is being restored. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.